Amen. Thank you, worship team. Don't we have a talented bunch? And thanks, Carrie, for jumping in for Susan. Had to be away with some family stuff this morning, and Mike had me on air guitar finally again, so it's been a long time since I was playing my air guitar down here, so thanks, Mike. And I just want to thank all of our worship team. You know, they're here every Wednesday night rehearsing for a couple hours, and then here both services Sunday morning, so they put a lot of time in, so I appreciate what they do, so you thank them along the way as well. This morning, I want us to open up in this word of prayer as we get ready to look at Scripture together, and I want us to pray for Enoch. Enoch lives and serves in Kenya, Africa. Some of you have met Enoch. He was here last year, a year and a half ago, with us in our service. Enoch is with Nairobi Gospel or Gospel Centers International, one of our ministry partner churches over there. And he helps us to do all the administrative and case management work for a ministry that we have where we provide education for kids in that area so they're orphaned kids who can get into a better school situation. And so Enoch does all the case management for that. We couldn't do it without him. We actually pay part of his salary through our general operating budget. So when you give financially to our church, that's one of the things that it goes to help support is the work that Enoch's doing through that ministry. And his father passed away suddenly this past week, so I just told him we'd be praying for him and his family. And it can be challenging in Kenya when you have funeral services, because they will probably have a service there in Nairobi where they live, and then at some point they'll be going out to where they grew up into their home area, and sometimes that can take hours to get there, and there's expense involved in all that. So a lot going on with Enoch and Jackie and their family. So I told them we'd be praying for them. So let's go to God in prayer. God, we thank you for this day. We thank you just for the beauty of it, that we can come and just worship you and focus on who you are in our lives and in our world. And we do want to lift up Enoch to you this morning and his family, his mom, and all of his family who are going through a loss and through a grief. And I just pray you would just walk with them. I pray for Gospel Center International as they serve them as their church. I just pray that you'd give the family and friends all the strength and energy that they need to get through the next few days and even the next few weeks, and just continue to guide and direct them. Thank you for Enoch. Thank you for the work that he does, and thank you for his partnership with us and allowing us to be a part of what's going on there. And then, God, I just pray for each one of us that you would just open our hearts and you'd open our minds to the things that you want us to know as we move into this new series, that things that you'd want us to know about ourselves and how you created us, but more than how you created us, but why you created us and the purpose behind that. So open our hearts and our minds today and in the coming weeks. In Christ's name I pray, amen. So grab your notes. I told you last week we're starting a new series. It's a 7-part series. We'll be in 8 weeks because we're taking a break on May 6th from what our regular worship structure, and we're going to be out serving through Food Fight 2018, and we'll tell you all about that at the end of the service. But we'll be actually wrapping up at the very end in June this series with what we call a ministry fair, and so we're planning to have this lunch together after church, it'll be an opportunity for you to kind of see some of the things that we're doing as a church, and maybe an opportunity for you to find out more about the various ministries that we're doing in the church and outside the church, and maybe connect with some of those based on some of the things that you might be learning along the way through this series. So we look forward to that. It's kind of a different type of a series too. It's been a long time since we've done it. Some of you are familiar with the SHAPE concept. We've taught this throughout the years, And so we'll be looking at this. It's going to be a little kind of practical. I'm probably going to be asking you there's going to be a little more fill-ins in the notes than what you're used to, as you can already see if you've already looked at your notes. So that's just, if you're a note taker, great. If you don't fill in, I don't take notes about that. So, use it if you want to. If your wife makes you fill them in, then just go with what she says. But anyway, so grab your notes. And I think, one of the reasons this series is important is because I think we forget about the fact that we're all unique. That in our culture and in our world and environments that we live and work in, we tend to want to compare ourselves to others, maybe wishing we were like someone else or had someone else's looks or someone else's gifts or talents or something like that. But the reality is you don't have to look very far to see that God likes variety. I mean, everything in this world is unique. There's really no carbon copies. Okay, every tree is different, plants are different, every animal is different, certainly every human being is different. There's nobody like you in the entire world. Even identical twins aren't really identical. Is there anybody here who is an identical twin? Nobody in the early service either. Anybody known an identical twins? Okay, a few of us. I had two really good friends when I was, really I met them when I was in ninth grade, and we were friends all the way through high school into adulthood. We went to the same church, we were in the same youth group together, we went to the same school, and all of that. I was always hanging out at their house. If my parents were out of town, I was at their house. If their parents were out of town, they were at mine. Kind of that kind of relationship. Keith and Kenneth were identical twins. And I remember when I met Keith and Kenneth, the very first time they came to our church and I met them, I couldn't tell them apart. I mean, they looked identical, right? And for the first couple of months, I would have to do that thing that identical twins hate. And if you've ever been friends with any of them, you know what I'm talking about, right? They hate it when you look at them and go, now, which one are you, right? Are you Keith? Are you Kenneth? And then you could just see it, the look in their eyes. They just hated when you asked that question. But after about 2 months or so, I could tell them apart just at a distance. I mean, after 2 months, they didn't look identical to me at all. They looked like brothers, but they didn't look the same in the way that they did when I first met them. And in the way that if you met them today, you would see them as looking identical. You couldn't tell them apart. I could tell them apart even today, years and years ago. I could tell them apart just seeing them like down the hall in school or across the campus at a distance. I could tell just by the way they walked or by the way they looked and all that. So God makes everything unoriginal. We are all unique. And did you know that in 1 cubic inch of snow, and I actually thought I might have some snow this morning as an example because everybody's getting all hyped up because we were going to have 12, 18 inches of snow and now we got beautiful sunshine today, which is great. I'm ready for spring. But in 1 cubic inch of snow, there are over 18 million snowflakes and not a single one of those snowflakes are the same. Isn't that incredible? I mean, that's just creation overkill, isn't it? So God made us it made us all different when he could have made us all alike. He could have just had, you know, conveyor belt, mass-produced human beings where we all looked the same, talked the same, had the same hair color, all of that. But God didn't do that. Why? Well, here's why. Because an original is always worth more than a copy. An original is always worth more than a copy. You are worth far more as an original than you are as a copy of somebody else. In Genesis chapter 2, the writer there tells us this, says, God shaped man from the earth, from the soil of the ground, and he blew the breath of life into his nostrils, and he became a human being. God shaped man or mankind, people. That word shaped is found all throughout the scriptures. God says that he custom shaped you, and there's nobody else that's shaped exactly like you. And there's a great passage in the book of Psalms that talks about this. A couple of weeks ago, Gideon introduced us to the book of Psalms, and we learned that it's not just a collection of poetry, that it's actually a collection of worship, and that it's full of all this worship. And in this passage, the author is worshiping God and praising God for not only the fact that God made him, but why God made him and how God made him. So check this out. He says, "You made my whole being, and you formed me in my mother's body. I praise you because you made me in an amazing and wonderful way. You saw my bones being formed as they took shape in my mother's body. When I was put together there, you saw my body as it was formed." And then check this out. "All the days planned for me, they were written in your book before I was even one day old." So he says, God made me. And God formed me, and God saw me, and God shaped me, and God put me together, and God planned every day of my life before I was ever even born. And do you know what that means? It means that there may be accidental parents, but there are no accidental children. And that you are not an accident. That you were created by God, and he created you the way he created you for a reason and for a purpose, and with a purpose in mind. So for the next few weeks, we're going to talk about this using this acrostic, S-H-A-P-E, the word shape, and we're going to talk about your shape and my shape. And the reality is, every area of our lives is influenced by the way that we've been shaped. And we don't realize this, but all the things that God put into you to make you you, to make you who you are, influences every single area of your life. For example, the way that you're shaped determines which classes you should take and focus on and the ones that you should just avoid. Now, some of us, that would have been a really big help to know our shape before we ever got to college, wouldn't it? Because we just ended up wasting a whole lot of time on classes that didn't really matter. Your shape determines the kind of friends that you should surround yourself with. We're going to talk about some of that over the next few weeks. Your shape determines the type of person that you should marry. The more you know about you, the better chances you are of choosing the right person for marriage. Your shape determines the types of temptations that you might deal with in life, and you need to plan for those. And how do I avoid those? Your shape determines the things that frustrate you more than they frustrate your spouse or your parents or your kids or the people around you, because you're shaped differently. You see things differently. Your shape determines the best career pick and the best work environment for you, the best ministry environment for you. So today is kind of an introduction, and as we start this series, I just want us to ask and answer three really quick questions this morning. And the first question is this: what is my shape? And what does shape stand for? And we're going to sprint through that acrostic together this morning. And then why should I care? I mean, why should I care about how I'm shaped? Why does it matter? And then how should I respond? How should I react, and how should I interact with the way that I'm shaped? So first is what is my shape? And I'm going to go over these real quickly, and then we're going to take one at a time for the next few weeks. And the S in shape stands for spiritual gifts. And something that we believe here is that Scripture teaches that every follower of Jesus has specific spiritual gifts. When they become a follower of Jesus, they get certain spiritual gifts. But like any gift, you have to take the time to unwrap it. Until you unwrap it, you can't really use them. And one of the things we'll talk about next week as we talk about what spiritual gifts are and what they mean is that we always get our spiritual gifts in what I call seed form, okay? And they have to be nurtured and they have to be grown before they can really be producing things in our life. So we'll look at that next week. The H in shape stands for heart. And you might put in parentheses next to heart, passion. What are you passionate about? What excites you? What is it that moves you emotionally? You know, there are certain things that you get so excited about and so passionate about that maybe other people around you aren't, but you are. And then there are certain things that you're not passionate about that other people are. God created you that way for a reason. So spiritual gifts, the H is for heart. The A is for ability. You know, what natural abilities do you have that God has given you? You have certain abilities. I have certain abilities. We all have 500, 600, 700 natural abilities that God has given to us. And God has given them to us in part so that we can help make the world a better place as we use them. So in 3 weeks, we'll talk about how we can use our natural abilities to impact the world. And then the P in shape is personality. This is where you look to answer the question, you know, how has God wired me? Because we all, you know, kind of live differently, don't we? We see the world differently. We react to things differently. We lead differently. We communicate differently. You know, some of us in the room, we're very competitive. Others of us are very cooperative. Some of us are extroverts. Some of us are introverts. Some of us are self-expressive, while others of us are more self-controlled. Some of us in the room, we love variety. Others of us, we just love to be around the routine, don't we? So God has wired us that way. How has God wired you? That's the question. Don't try to be an extrovert if you're an introvert. Just be the best introvert that you can be. And then the last letter is the letter E, and that stands for experiences, for our experiences. We have all kinds of experiences in life, don't we? Good experiences, bad experiences, really profoundly exciting experiences, and then some really, really difficult experiences. And the fact is that God wants to use every one of them in some way. So in the last week, we'll talk more about that. So God gave you these five things, and you're unique. You're special. No one's like going to be like you. So our next question is, why should I care? Why should I even worry about my shape? Why should I care about the fact that God has shaped me in a certain way to do certain things? I want to give you three things really, really quickly that I think you should care about in regards to your shape. And the first one is, or reasons you should care about your shape. The first one is this: because your shape helps to reveal God's purpose for you. It helps to reveal God's purpose for you. The way you find out what God wants you to do in life is to discover how He shaped you. And the better you understand that, the more clear what God wants you to do with your life will be. Now, architects have a phrase that goes like this. Form follows function. All architects know this, right? Form follows function. And what I mean by that is tell me what you want the building to be used for, and I'll tell you what to build, and I'll tell you how it should be built. You need to know what you're going to do with it in order to know what to build. Is it going to be a school, or is it going to be a theater? Depending on what it's going to be, it's going to look differently, right? Because it's going to function different. Is it going to be a mall, or is it going to be somebody's house? So we actually have a team right now in our church that's working with an architect. It's working on an architect to design and to build a covered entryway into our lobby and our worship center there. One of the first things we talked to him about, one of the first things he asked us was, what do you want to do with it, right? Why are you building it? What purpose is it going to serve? We talked about, well, we want it to provide shelter, obviously, right? But we also want it to be directional for new people. We want people who've never been on our campus before, who are showing up here for the very first time on Sunday mornings, when they pull into the parking lot, to be able to see visually where they should enter the building, because right now it's not all that obvious, is it? We also want it to be a place that's comfortable and inviting, a place where people can hang out through multiple seasons in a year and connect with each other and engage in conversations and build a relationship. All of that informs what we end up building. But with people, it's the exact opposite. With people, function follows form. In other words, figure out how God shaped me, how he made me, and then I'll better understand what his purpose is for my life. If I figure out how God wired me up, that will give me a pretty good clue of what God expects me to do. Because God will not give me spiritual gifts and passions and a heart and abilities and personality and all of these experiences in one area and then say, by the way, we're just going to ignore all of that. I want you to do this over here, this thing that you hate and that you're not good at. Right? God wouldn't do that. If you're good at something, it's a pretty good indication that that's what God wants you to do, and that's what God wants to use in order to make the world a better place for his purposes. So we're going to look at this in detail in the next few weeks as we walk through this series. But knowing how you're shaped gives you direction in life. And not only that, but it also will equip you to serve God. It'll help equip you and me to serve God. And here's what the prophet Isaiah said. He said, God formed me in my mother's womb to be his servant, and he commissioned me. He commissioned me. And God has given you, he's given all of us a mission, just like he did the prophet Isaiah, and he's commissioned you to do it. And God says, I shaped you to serve, and I made you for a mission. There is a life mission that God has for each and every one of us, and nobody else can do that but you. Now, you might think, but you know, kind of missed that mission. Maybe it's too late for me, David. You know, maybe I've let too much time pass by, and I haven't discovered my shape. I haven't discovered what God wants me to do. And so, you know, I think I've blown this serving God thing. It's just way too late for me. And here's what I would say to you, if that's you, the Apostle Paul, in a lot of his writings, he used an analogy, and the analogy he used was to compare life as being like a race. And I think that's a really good analogy for life, that it's like a race. But do you know what's true about a race? What's true about a race is people never remember how it begins, but they always remember how it ends. Nobody remembers the start of a race, but they always remember the finish line of a race. So maybe you didn't have the start in life that you wanted, but now you can find your shape and you can discover your life purpose and you can serve God and find your mission and do it and be what God made you to be and do what he made you to do. Here's the third reason I think you should care about your shape, because it shows God's glory. It shows God's glory. Do you know what makes God smile? He looks down and he sees a guy, and he sees this guy using the talents that he gave him for his glory, and God goes, that's my boy. That's my boy. I made him to do that. I made him to be a salesman. I made him to be an accountant. I made him to be a WWF wrestler. You know, I made him to be an athlete of some sort. I wired him to be an entrepreneur. I wired him to do that. That's my boy. He's doing what I made him to do. Or he looks down and he says, you see that woman? I made her to do that. I made her to do this and this and this, and this. And that makes me happy because she's doing it. And I'm the creator, and that's what I wired her for and to do. And she's doing it, and that makes me smile. When people fulfill their purpose, they bring God glory. And God made you unique, and He made you an original. And like I said, originals are always more important and always more valuable than carbon copies. So why should you care about your shape? Because when you discover it, and when you begin to allow God to use it as He planned, it brings Him glory. Last question, how do we respond? How do we respond? You can't build your shape or develop your shape or use your shape until you take a couple of steps. And a couple of those steps are this. The first one is just acceptance. You got to accept your shape. Acceptance means believing that God knows best. When He made me, He knew what He was doing, that I believe that God knows best. It all comes down, I think, to a matter of trust. And do I believe that God made a mistake with me, or do I trust Him knowing that He has a plan for my life and He created me the way He wanted me to be? You know, I think it's actually pretty arrogant to reject ourselves. And the reason I say that is because something that Paul wrote over in Romans 9 when he said this, "My friend, I ask, who do you think you are to question God? Does the clay have the right to ask the potter why he shaped it the way he did?" And the implied answer is, well, of course not, right? You know, whenever we doubt God's love and whenever we doubt God's wisdom, we always get into trouble. And I think the root behind most of our problems really is that we just don't trust God enough, that we don't believe God really loves us, or we don't believe that He really has our best interest at heart, or we wish He just made us something different, and we're always comparing. So the first thing you need to do is just accept the shape that you have, and the next thing we need to do is we need to refocus. We need to refocus and develop what's inside of us rather than focusing on what's outside of us. And that's what we're going to do over the next few weeks. We're going to focus on developing the inside of you and the inside of me as we look at our shape and what all that means. Because I think nobody could disagree with that in our world and in our culture, we're just kind of obsessed with outward appearance, isn't it? And I don't think there's anything wrong with wanting to change our outward appearance, but it's on every television show, it's in every magazine, it's in all the movies, all of that. People spend millions of dollars and sometimes hours and hours and hours on the outside, but we don't spend nearly enough time developing the inside of us. It's all external and nothing internal. Yet God said this over in 1 Samuel 16. He said, "The Lord does not look at the things that man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." And so that's what we're going to do over the next few weeks. We're going to focus on developing the inside of you and me. And one of my goals for all of us in this series is that all of us would become more confident people. Because I know a lot of people, but I don't think I know very many really confident people. I think most of us are masking insecurity, if we're really honest with ourselves. I don't know many people that are truly all that confident in life. But when you know your shape, when you understand that God created you uniquely and He did it for a purpose and that there's a mission behind all that, when you understand how God created you and the shape that God gave you, then you can say, this is what God made me to be. And I like me, and God likes me. So if you don't like me, well, then it's your problem. It's not mine. That's confidence. And my goal is at the end of this series that all of us would be able to say, just like the Apostle Paul said in his last verse, and I'll leave this with you. He said, "By the grace of God, I am what I am." So I hope you'll be here over the next few weeks as we walk through this together and as we discover some of this together. Let me pray for you. God, thank you for creating us the way that you did. And all of us in this room can look at ourselves and we can compare ourselves to others and maybe wish we were different in this way or had this gift or this talent or something like that. But the reality is you created us the way you did for a reason, and there's a purpose behind it, and there's a mission behind it. So I pray that you would be with each one of us as we walk through the next few weeks and we look at spiritual gifts and what that means to a follower of yours. And we look at some of the heart that you've given us, some of the things that you've made us passionate about, and our abilities. We take a look at our personality, just how we're wired and how we view the world, and then we take a look at our experiences, both good and bad. I just pray you'd give us some insight and some wisdom in how you want to use all of those things to allow us to make the world a better place in your name. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. We're going to stand and sing our song of response. And this morning, as we stand and sing, in preparation for communion, because when we're finished, we're going to share communion together. But as we stand and sing the song of response, I just want to encourage you to just prepare your hearts for communion as we get ready to join together. Let's stand and sing.